bacon and lettuce and homegrown tomatoes. Up in the morning, out in the garden, get you a ripe and don't get a hard. Plant them in the spring, eat them in the summer. All winter without them is a culinary bummer. Forget about all the sweating and the digging. Every time I go out and pick me a bacon, homegrown tomatoes.
It's time for Food Talk. I'm Marianne Myers. I'm here with the ever fabulous Linda Perkins. Good morning.
I like to think of myself as the turkey.
Well, that's the main course.
Gobble, gobble.
We're here to talk about home cooking. That's what we talk about on Food Talk. And today we thought we might talk about what to do with leftover feast day food. Aside from the ever popular turkey sandwiches, turkey soup, those things we know about, but maybe get a little more creative or at least add a few options to the list.
Okay, I'll start with one that's not scary. It's just like one step above the soup and the sandwiches, and this is the one time of year that you buy that loaf of white bread with the mayonnaise and the mustard. Turkey sandwiches, but turkey pot pie. So easy. Just make a white sauce, a little bit of flour, a little bit of butter.
Unless you have some gravy left over,
yes.
Then you got sauce already.
Yes, yes. And just do yourself a favor. You've been cooking like a dog all week. Just go buy some pie crust at the store or make it.
Or puff pastry.
Yes,
which
that's
is
really good too.
Really yep. good on there.
Yeah.
Or if you had biscuits,
float them on top.
That's what I think. Or put mashed potatoes, put leftover mashed potatoes up there, and you've got shepherd's pie.
Oh, that's a really good idea.
Yeah.
That's two levels above the turkey sandwich.
And they're both really, really good.
Okay, Tag, your turn.
I'm saying if you have leftover stuffing, mm-hmm. a really yummy thing to do with acorn or Danish squash. And I swear I do not know the difference between acorn and Danish squash. They look the same.
Mm-hmm.
You just cut them in half, hollow out the seeds, fill them with your leftover stuffing, and roast them.
And you could do that if you had rice, too.
Yeah, you could do it with kind of stuffing at all. Is really good in a baked squash. So that's mine. You're next.
Do you mix turkey with it?
You sure could.
Okay, because that would be good.
Yeah, you could just dice it up in there.
Ding, ding, ding. My turn. Okay, so
you could throw your whole cranberry sauce in there, too.
Yes.
Because it bakes really well. The jelly doesn't bake that well. It turns into
snot.
Syrup.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Please. Yeah, so.
Okay, I'm thinking turkey tetrazzini.
Oh, yum.
Which is essentially just kind of a turkey casserole.
Mm-hmm.
But it's different than what you've been making. And it uses a lot of the same stuff. So just a knob of butter, onion, garlic, mushrooms, a little bit of thyme in the pan, sweat it out, add some white wine, and then just, do a white sauce against a little bit more butter, some flour, some milk cream, maybe a little bit of broth, a little bit of nutmeg, just boil it and thicken it, and then make up some linguine, and then just mix it all together with a bunch of turkey, throw in a couple handfuls of frozen peas, and then stick it in a casserole dish that you've buttered. And then if you want to, mix up some Parmesan and breadcrumbs on top, dot it with a little bit of butter. If you want it to really look like a casserole, stick it in the oven and ba-ding, it's something different, but it uses a lot of what you
and
have
it's
around.
Delicious.
Yeah.
And it makes me think that,
it's
you
wintery.
Could do that same thing with egg noodles and
mm-hmm.
Do a turkey instead of a tuna casserole, turkey with peas and cream sauce and leftover
yeah.
gravy.
Yeah, I love egg noodles. That's a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So.
Your turn.
Well, I had pot pie and shepherd's pie on my list, but another thing is because in keeping with my theme of putting an egg on everything, if you have leftover dressing,
mm-hmm.
and you could do this with mashed potatoes, or you could even mix them together, but you just make a little patty and then a depression in the middle, crack an egg in there. It's a baked egg dish with the egg in your leftover dressing, stuffing. And it's really yummy.
Do you do it like in a big muffin tin or something?
You can just do it. Well, you can just do it on a baking sheet because you're making a depression for the egg to be in there. So it's up to you what kind of thing you use, but because the nest that the egg is in has already been cooked, mm-hmm. you don't need to be in the oven very long. So it's not a traditional baked egg where you would actually bake it. You just put it in the oven for about 4 to 6 minutes on broil because all you're doing is getting the egg the way you like your eggs.
Okay.
So, okay. Yeah. And it's really yummy.
And you can, I always make more mashed potatoes than I need because I want to make potato soup, which is just adding something, most likely turkey stock, to the mashed potatoes. Pudding!
Soup.
Yeah. But then,
and maybe a chive.
Yeah.
To
yeah.
look like you tried.
But they already died. I don't have them anymore.
Oh, I know. I know. They're sad.
I hate that they have that planned product obsolescence.
They do come back.
But you can fry up, like, slabs of mashed potatoes, too, for breakfast.
Oh, I love that. Just a little potato pancake.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're very good that way. Mm. Very, very good. And they're a really good thickener for mm-hmm. anything that you're making that you would normally make a roux or something for, or any kind of soup. You mm-hmm. can put a few globs of mashed potatoes in there and have it be just the right thickness.
Yep.
So good to have them around.
So because I'm from Minnesota, we always have wild rice for Thanksgiving. And I don't know if you guys do, but it's good. And I really, really like to make turkey wild rice soup. That's just about my favorite leftover way to have turkey. So if you don't have wild rice soup, it's pretty easy to make. You just go buy one of those boxes of long grain and wild rice, and it has a seasoning packet. Just make it.
We actually have access here to Oregon-grown wild rice.
Yay!
So there's no reason you couldn't have wild rice. I want to know, do you just, before we get to the soup part, are you just steaming the rice like we would steam any color rice? I mean, because wild rice isn't really a rice. It's,
no, it's
a
seed. Yeah. So what I do is I don't measure the water. I just put a lot of water in a pot because I drain it. So I don't try to get the water exactly right because for some reason with me and wild rice, it cooks so long that doesn't work. I end up burning the rice because if you have a big pot of boiling water and you drop the wild rice in there, you're not using the long grain and wild rice that's kind of a, I don't know how they do it, but sort of it takes so much or so less time to to cook. But if you just have like real wild rice, I just drop it in salted boiling water, a lot of water. Like if I had a cup of rice, I wouldn't do it in less than 4 cups of water, and I would have more towards six.
Kind of like pasta, then.
Yes, exactly. That's thank you.
Thank you. My pleasure.
And so then you cook it, and it's about 45 minutes, maybe even an hour until, and you boil it that long or simmer it, whatever, and until the grains are popped open and they're kind of curled around.
Oh,
it's kind
okay.
of a quinoa kind of thing happens.
And, okay.
And then I just drain it in a strainer.
Okay.
Because if you try to get the exact right, like how you do with brown rice, yeah, that, or white rice, how you try to get the exact amount of water,
right.
You know, if you do that with this, it just cooks so long, I just can't not burn it, if you'll allow me a double negative, so I just boil it like crazy.
And you know, it is not, putting the right amount of water in with rice so that your rice is done and there's no water left is not the way the entire world cooks rice. A lot of places in the world, you put rice in, you know, you bring it to a boil, and when it's done, you put it in a colander and drain it,
okay.
or a strainer. So
any
kind of rice. So it isn't so...
it's not a crime.
It's definitely not a crime.
Yay!
I say however you get your rice the way you like it is exactly the correct way to cook it. So anyway, so we have wild rice, and we enjoyed it with dinner, and now we have leftover rice.
So then wild rice soup is an easy thing to make, turkey wild rice soup. You just saute up some carrots, onions, and celery. Woohoo! Maybe a cup of each. And then, a stick of butter and then maybe half a cup of flour so that you cook that around the vegetables for like a minute. And then just slowly add some cream or half and half, maybe 3 cups of that, about 6 cups of turkey stock to that. And then add the rice that you've made and add the turkey, and it probably won't need seasoning, but if it does, salt and pepper, and then you've got wild rice soup. It's really easy to make. It's really delicious. Cook it for a while so it gets a little thick, and then if you don't have wild rice, just make one of those boxes of long grain and wild rice, how it says on the packet or on the package. Use the seasoning packet because it tastes good in the soup. Or you can just boil up some regular wild rice and use it that way. There's a lot of different ways to make it.
Do you think that wild rice maintains its integrity longer in soup than like white rice?
I do. It doesn't get all...
It doesn't get all mushy, so you don't have to do it separately and then ladle the soup over it because...
And you can if you want, too.
Yeah.
It stays not... It doesn't absorb
get
stuff
mushy.
The way that white rice does.
Cool. Very cool. So I'm thinking turkey enchiladas... And or turkey tacos. Oh,
see how you are. So perfect.
Anything you can roll in a tortilla is good in my book. And, you know, the other thing is to just change up a turkey sandwich a little bit, you can panini it. And you don't need a panini maker. Criminently, why do we have to have a special machine for everything? Don't get me started on that. All you have to do is grill it and squish it.
Yeah.
And you can do that with a spatula. Yeah. Really.
Waffle maker.
There you go. Waffle iron would be perfect for that. Anyway, turkey, maybe a little dressing, maybe a little cranberry sauce or cranberry chutney is fabulous in there. And really good bread, buttered a little bit on the outside and squished, grilled and squished.
Well, enchiladas, I love, we were talking about this just a few minutes ago before we were on the air, but I love green chilies with turkey. I do. I just think it's really good. I love green enchilada sauce. I love just green chili verde with it. I think it's just delicious. And I don't know if you know this, but, and I know this is a cooking show, but maybe after Thanksgiving, it's a cooking avoidance show.
It might be, and an eating avoidance show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that too. But I don't know if you know this, but you can go to your favorite Mexican restaurant and you can say, can I buy $5 worth of salsa? Because you love their salsa. Or, and I do this probably on a monthly basis, can I buy $5 of your green sauce? And I usually just bring a container and then,
Heck yeah. That stuff is bona fide homemade.
Yeah.
I mean, if you go to the right place, you're just having somebody else do something for you that they do really, really well. But also, you can get fresh tomatillos right now. And if you go ahead and make salsa verde, then you can use it in your enchilada sauce. And you can also use it in, I like white bean chili verde really a lot. And I like
chicken
chili verde, but turkey chili verde
would be great. Yeah,
that's
a really, really good idea.
So all of that green sauce, a million delicious ways to use it. Oh, it would be even good spooned over the egg.
But it would be.
The egg in a nest. It would be really good.
It would be.
Yeah.
I really like the flavor of poblanos with fresh poblanos. With or cooked, but I just really like the flavor of poblanos with turkey, too.
That's true.
Delicious.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So speaking of that, you have, I think we were talking earlier that you had a pozole idea for us.
Oh, yeah, you should do the idea because it's a long one.
It's a long one. So I'm going to remind you, as I am always pleased to do, that you are listening to Coast Community Radio, KMUN 91.9 FM, Astoria, Oregon, KTCB 89.5 FM, Tillamook, Oregon. We're streaming at coastradio.org, and we're on your mobile device using the TuneIn app. This is Food Talk. It's a co-production of Coast Community Radio and North Coast Food Web. I'm Marianne Myers. I'm here with Linda Perkins. We're talking about Thanksgiving or any feast day leftovers. But I guess we're concentrating on Thanksgiving because turkey seems to be such a traditional thing and you almost always have some left over.
Yeah, it's almost like you make enough because you're cooking so hard, you want enough for a few days.
Yep.
So Lorna Zemetkin is an excellent cook and her favorite thing to do with leftover turkey is turkey pozole, that thick hominy soup numb. I would like to share with you how she makes it because it is delicious. So what she does is,
wait a minute, is there an end to any one of those sentences?
No, I'm so sorry. It's so close to Thanksgiving, I don't even have punctuation. We're all a little Ronald Reagan.
Man, no kidding, really.
Oh, okay, so she makes her turkey stock, and she doesn't make her turkey ahead of time. She makes it the day of Thanksgiving, but they carve it up before they sit down, and she gets that carcass boiling on the stove, simmering on the stove, before they even sit down, so that it is turning into turkey stock the whole time that they're eating. So she throws onions and celery, and you know, you can throw parsley stems in there, carrot butts, just whatever you have in there to make your stock, and just simmer it for an hour or two on the stove, you know, with the carcass and in a good amount of water to cover it. So then she has a lot of turkey stock. So what she does then is she sautés up some onions, some garlic, some carrots, and then she does mixes or sautés those up in a little butter or olive oil until they're soft, and then she adds cumin and oregano to it and some salt and pepper. So then she cooks the cumin a little bit on it, and then she adds a bunch of turkey stock, and then she gets two big cans of hominy, and she drains it and she rinses it really well, which is important because otherwise you get that weird starchy stuff in there. And then she simmers it for, it's at least 45 minutes, maybe even an hour, until the hominy is soft. It's not, you know, like hard like you'd get it on a salad bar. And then she adds a jar of chili verde salsa. And then, and if you see Lorna Zemetkin on the street, you can ask her what kind. She has a favorite. And then the turkey. So she's not cooking the turkey all that time, so it doesn't get all rubbery and stringy and weird, and then on top of the soup she puts some shredded cabbage, maybe a little sour cream, some really thinly sliced radishes, and you must have cilantro and lime.
You must.
Yeah. And it's just really good, and it's so different than what you made. It's not Thanksgiving revisited. It's for when you're tired of Thanksgiving but you've still got turkey.
Yeah.
And it's really good.
And I just recently tried a chicken pozole with green sauce instead of the traditional, or what I think of as the traditional
red sauce
with pork.
With pork, yeah.
I'm crazy about it. It's so good. This is a brilliant idea. Will Laura let us put her recipe on the website?
Lorna
Zemeckin. I'm sorry.
And
Lorna.
Yes. And it's my husband Dale, when his children were little, they couldn't say Zemetkin, but they could say Mexican, so that's what her last name has become. And it's so funny that this is a Mexican restaurant or Mexican recipe, and it's so perfect, and it's hers. Zemetkin is hard to say, but yeah, she will.
All right, it's really good.
Yay!
All right. So NorthCoastFoodWeb.org. All one word, lowercase, northcoastfoodweb.org. Click on the recipe link. We'll get Lorna's recipe up there, and anything else we talked about today that might require a recipe. A lot of these are just ideas that you can figure out because you already have all the ingredients.
Hey, isn't the food web, did I dream this? Aren't you having a market sort of thing?
We are hosting a pop-up farmer's market tomorrow afternoon. That's Tuesday afternoon, 2:30 to 5:30. I know we have two fabulous local produce vendors, one from the Napa-Svenson area, one from Tillamook. We have fabulous fresh cheeses from Skamakaway. We have really wonderful grass-fed beef and lamb from Nehalem. We have a bakery coming from Pacific County.
Wow.
I know. We're very lucky. And we have the organic cranberry products, including cranberry sauce. So just in time for, and the food web, because this is being hosted inside our building, do not worry. Don't let the term farmer's market scares you. You will be indoors and it will be nice and warm, and there will be refreshments for you to sample while you wander around and look at what is available. But it is a chance to pick up some last minute, really wonderful local goodies for your feast day, and to support our local producers and our local agricultural economy. So by all means, come by. It is at 577 18th Street in Astoria. It's on 18th Street between Exchange and Franklin, and you can go to to Coast Radio. You can go to northcoastfoodweb.org and find out more information. But you are all invited to come and celebrate local agriculture and local food and pre-Thanksgiving celebration.
Yeah, you just drive along 18th Street till you see the building with the super cool mural on it, and then you'll know that you're there.
You cannot miss our mural. Yeah. It is really vibrant and brilliant and done for us, designed and executed by the Upward Bound kids this summer. We're really lucky.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about the last show we had where we talked about making the turkey ahead. And
yes.
If there's anything I could tell you before Thanksgiving, and those of you that are hosting a big honkin' meal, I want to give you the courage to make your turkey and your gravy ahead. And here's why I am double downing on my make ahead turkey message.
Okay.
Because I saw Ina Garten. I saw her, the Barefoot Contessa. I saw her menu for her Thanksgiving 2016 online. And the first two things are make ahead turkey and make ahead gravy. She's doing it. So it's not some crazy thing that I thought about in my husband's shop. When I was driven crazy.
Are you
by
allowed in your husband's shop? Well, what's that secret about? I don't know how that works.
Boys only.
Yeah, right.
But the noise is, they make you think crazy things. But if you make your turkey the day ahead of time and you've got it all roasted, then you can take it. You should take it off the bone, get it all boned, get it all in Tupperware, and then get your carcass in a pot, make some turkey stock, and the next day you heat up the turkey stock, pour it over a pan, over the turkey, and then the turkey's sitting in the stock, and then you can just keep it warming in the oven at like 170 degrees. And then you've also got the stock and the scrapings from the pan to make your gravy ahead of time. You know that gravy warmed up is just as good as gravy made that very day.
That's right.
Yep. And it's just, it frees up an oven and it frees up your brain. And if something were to go horribly wrong, then you would have, you know. If
you would be able to relax and call for pizza.
Yes. Yes. But that's not the big reason. It's just to make your Thanksgiving more relaxing.
I love the whole idea about it. And the other one of the big benefits in my book is that truly at the end of having prepared a big feast dinner and then enjoyed a big feast dinner and then cleaned up all the dishes from big feast dinner, do I want to start to make stock? Not really.
No.
Do I want to break down that turkey carcass?
No.
Not really.
You just want to throw it out on the porch and have the coyotes haul it away.
That's
oops! I couldn't possibly make stock now. It's got slobber on it.
Exactly.
Oopsie.
So I love the idea of doing all that the day before at leisure.
Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful. And I also like the bonus of the available oven, because you could, if you're doing pies or some baked dessert, you can have that come out of the oven at the opportune time.
Okay, that is another thing. Brave listeners, I want you to be even braver. Make your pie today, just stick it in the freezer. At this point, it doesn't matter if it has saran wrap in it, on it, foil, it doesn't matter. You can just leave it in there, naked in there for 3 days, and it'll be just fine when you thought. You can make it raw and stick it in there. You don't even have to worry about wrapping it, nothing. It'll be just fine for 3 days, and then take it out and bake it on Thanksgiving. Be brave with your pies. Be brave with your turkeys. They're the two things that are really hard. Because if you did your turkey the day ahead of time, the turkey and the stock are the thing that make all the mess and make all the pans that you can't put in the dishwasher. Everything else, if that's all done, you're just going to be able to load up the dishwasher and then go watch TV with everybody else.
That's right. Or get in your car and drive far, far away.
What were they saying a couple days ago? Just find an empty parking lot and sit in it. Because that's what you really want to do this time of year.
Oh, I'm telling you, the whole potluck thing is just so perfect for feast day. It is really perfect, as opposed to one person shouldering the burden. Although there are people who love that. And I would say please yourself about it. But if you are, even if you are having guests and they're all bringing something and you're just responsible for turkey and gravy, just do it ahead of time and be able to sit around and visit with everybody.
Yeah.
I think it's fabulous.
Yeah.
It's totally fabulous. I'm not cooking the turkey this year.
No. I am the turkey.
What are you taking to dinner?
Dinner rolls.
Oh.
Yeah. I think I'm going to make some sweet potatoes too, but dinner rolls.
Very nice.
How about you?
I am taking dessert. And I'm a little bit nervous because I am attending dinner, as are you. And one of the other guests is a dessert chef who has opted not to take dessert.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's
really,
always awesome, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm so excited. Ay, ay, ay.
Stress-free.
Yeah, right. Anyway, yes, so I'm just taking dessert. But, I mean, it's kind of, I love having an assignment that mm-hmm. is modest, and mm-hmm. I get to really throw myself into it mm-hmm. and not have to just like, oh, my gosh, and then I have to make dessert.
But it's so nice when everybody, you know, in that potluck situation is making something that's good. It's so hard when you assign something to somebody and they come with the $4 grocery store pie and you're like, oh, really? Because I've been on this for two weeks now.
Hey, there's an idea.
Yeah,
I know.
I just bought you all TV dinners from Swanson's and called it Thanksgiving. So don't do that out there. Don't do that to your hostess.
Just don't. If you don't want to bake a pie, don't take a pie. Also, oh my gosh, you know, I hate when I have an idea and then it just falls out one of the holes in my head.
I feel like this 1950s Buick because I vapor lock. It is just the most remarkable mechanical thing. And sometimes I think of my brain as, have you ever been to Yellowstone and seen those obsidian cliffs?
Yes.
My brain is like that. It's hard and black and shiny and everything just deflects off it. Nothing inside can get out. I am a feature of Yellowstone.
You can cut things with it. You know, they used to make knives and have, like, human sacrifices with obsidian knives. So,
well,
I don't
where
know.
Where did that come from?
You're dangerous.
No. You're on a tangent. This is a cooking show. Oh, my gosh. Thanksgiving is so stressful.
So, you know, we talked a little bit last Food Talk about things that we always have for mm-hmm. Thanksgiving dinner, family traditions that if you are in charge of the dinner, you would dare not omit from the menu. And in the ensuing 2 weeks, I've had a couple of people tell me things. And
like you forgot.
Well, or like just what theirs are, because we wouldn't have known.
Okay.
And two different people independently said to me, ambrosia salad.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, isn't that funny? That's so like old timey.
I know. It's real, but you could see how it would be a tradition over generations.
It's true. My grandma served it. I remember now. It's just we were always so cranberry. You know, that's what we were focused on. It was so good.
Yeah. And I think that the interesting thing about ambrosia salad is that it's almost always made with canned fruit.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't even know how that would be with fresh fruit. That might be pretty okay.
I don't know. Doesn't it have marshmallows? I'm trying to think.
And these days it has whipped topping, although in the old days it used to have really whipped cream.
Oh, okay.
You know.
Yeah, it's just, I'm not a big marshmallow fan. It's funny, I made homemade marshmallows this week just for the spectacle of it. You know, you make this little tiny thing and you whip it for 15 minutes and it's this giant volume, and then you have to wrestle it into a pan, which is, I mean,
it's unwieldy.
Yes, it sure is. But I'm not a big fan of marshmallows. I don't like them on sweet potatoes. I don't like them in salads. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why it's hard to make something you don't like. You
that's
know?
True. Well, if you're taking sweet potatoes to Thanksgiving dinner, how are you doing them?
I was going to do them that way that I talked about a few weeks ago. I have that recipe on the Food Web thing, but where I just roast them when they're diced into little bite-sized pieces until they get the little cringlies on the edge, and then a sauce of browned butter, sage, cinnamon, and maple syrup.
I forgot brown butter and sage.
I can't remember if I put
that's browns. One of those really wonderful combinations that makes everything taste better. Brown butter and sage.
I got the fresh sage already. Woohoo! It's in a little glass with some water.
I hope that all of you have a wonderful Thanksgiving, whether you are feasting or just enjoying a day off. Or to all of my former peeps, I always think of the service in, the food service industry on big holiday feast days because I used to be in it, and it is crazy. So hang in there. Enjoy it to what degree you are able. Stay tuned. Coming your way in just a minute is NPR News Headlines, and then John Stevenson is in the house to bring you Lost Highways. It is 10 o'clock straight up on Coast Community Radio, KMUN 91.9 FM, Astoria, Oregon, KTCB 89.5 FM, Tillamook, Oregon, streaming live at coastradio.org, and on your mobile device using the TuneIn app. You've been listening to Food Talk. Thanks, Linda.
We are thankful for you.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Ain't nothing in the world that I like better than bacon and lettuce and homegrown tomatoes up in the morning.